from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. A massive fire at Paris's Notre Dame Cathedral yesterday has been put out, but not before causing extensive damage to the famous Gothic structure. We'll get an update on the damage and plans to rebuild, and we'll get your reactions. You can call us now at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. The number again is 866-733-6786, or email forum at kqed.org. And then at 10:30, Governor Newsom has laid out a plan to deal with catastrophic wildfires in the state, including a possible radical overhaul of PG&E, which has been blamed for causing some of the most destructive fires in the last several years. We'll get the latest. That's next after this news. Welcome back to this morning's forum. I'm Michael Krasny. A devastating fire on Monday has destroyed the Notre Dame Cathedral's spire and roof, and police believe that the blaze, which has now been extinguished, was started by accident. Hundreds of millions of euros have already been pledged by companies and philanthropists to rebuild the iconic 850-year-old Paris structure, and the images of the fire and damage touch the nerve around the world. We're going to open the phone lines now to get your reaction and any questions you might have, and you can call us now at our toll-free number, and I invite you to do that. It's 866-733-6786. Again, please feel free to join us. We'd like to hear your reactions. 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions or responses you may have to forum@kqed.org. And joining us first is Geraldine Amiel, and she is Paris Bureau Chief for Bloomberg. And welcome to the program. Glad to have you with us.
I'm glad to be with you.
Well, give us an update, if you would be so kind. I mean, we're getting all kinds of images of damage, and they've touched a nerve around the world. But at this point, it's an ongoing investigation, and I want to talk with you about that as well. But tell us what you see.
Well, just right now, you know, you have huge crowds still passing by the Notre Dame site. But there's a district that has been sealed around it, and only military patrols and police forces can get around the building. And the probe has indeed started with all the workers who were actually in charge of the refurbishing works being questioned by the police. Right now, investigators can't really enter the building. It's about securing it for the next 48 hours. The blaze was so intense that at some point, the fire fighters thought that it would be lost. And that it wouldn't be stable enough. So there's intense monitoring occurring for the rest of the day to check if it has cooled down properly. Already the firemen have entered the building, and you've seen the pictures and everything. But as for the investigators, 50 of them, mind you, as for the investigators, they have to wait a little bit before they can really enter and try and get some samples, for instance.
Well, the good news is that millions have been pledged to rebuild, and certainly there's been a pledge by President Macron. In fact, he's declaring that the cathedral will be rebuilt. He's going to be talking later. What do we expect from that? Do you know?
Absolutely. He's going to talk in 50-minute time. He's going to address the nation. It will be solely about Notre Dame. There was a cabinet meeting especially devoted to it that will be held tomorrow. The president had pledged to actually address the nation about something totally different last night. It was about assuaging the grassroots discontent, and I'm pretty sure everyone else has seen that the Yellow Vest protest. And to tell you how serious and grave the moment is for the French nation, this address to the nation was absolutely postponed, and it's all about Notre Dame. So yes, he says Notre Dame will be rebuilt. Right now it's about gathering the money. It's about launching the national fundraising campaign here in France, and the international one as well, of course. And as you said, companies and billionaires around, and philanthropists around the world have pledged like nearly $700 million so far, and more coming, I guess.
And responses, very supportive responses throughout the world, from Russia, from England, from Spain. I'm just wondering, we're talking, by the way, with Geraldine Amiel, who is bureau chief in Paris for Bloomberg. At this point, the building is still pretty unstable, I'm reading.
Alors, the two towers and the western side, which is the iconic facade that you see on pictures, are now safe. They're still trying to secure a bit of one tower. You know, they harbor the bells, so it's very important that they are really secured and everything before investigators can go there. And this is what they're doing for the next 48 hours. And after that, once the building is considered as stable and secure, then the work to really assess what needs to be done, to really assess what happened, will be able to start, but not before. So grant Notre Dame 48 additional hours before we can really get into its bowels.
And one final question, if I may. This is Holy Week in France, leading up to Easter. What's the meaning of the church for Catholics in France, or for that matter, as you see it, well, we can talk about it more globally as well, but particularly in Paris and in France?
I was very surprised last night. I was there by the building. I saw everything happening from 7 p.m. And France is a secular country. You know that France has an issue with Muslim women wearing a veil, for instance, saying it's a public show of your religion. And this is something that is really frowned upon here in France. Wearing your cross or getting ashes on your forehead on Ash Wednesday. France is a secular country, and I was really surprised last night to see that people in the crowd were kneeling and praying and singing praise. This is something that is really not seen in France. It's you keep your religion to yourself. And France, at heart, is definitely a Judeo-Christian country, and very much a Catholic one. So Notre Dame blaze meant a lot, and so means a lot for the French people. And just don't think it's only about religion. It's an iconic building, and you said it was. It was like there was a massive wave around the world of emotion after that blaze, because Notre Dame doesn't just belong to France. I think it belongs to the rest of the people, Western culture for sure, thanks to literature, Victor Hugo for one, but there are many more, thanks to painters. There's so much more. Notre Dame has been at the heart of Western civilization for more than 800 years. That's why it's so striking.
And many sacred and beautiful things within, treasures within, including the Crown of Thorns, which I believe was saved, actually.
This is something that was very peculiar, because the firefighters followed a specific process. First you save the people, then you save the art piece, then you save the furniture, what can be saved, and then you try and rescue the building. This is how they did it. It's a specific process that was actually put in place after the French Revolution, when it was the place was definitely ransacked. Now, saying this, there was a blaze raging on, and General Gallet, was the head of the Paris Fire Brigade, took with him 10 men, and they went into the building and tried to get as many pieces of artwork out as possible, which is something. It's something when, you know, it was extremely dangerous until this morning. They did this during the blaze, basically. And they managed to salvage as much as possible. Unfortunately, some relics are gone now.
Well, I'm afraid about 70% of the art at this point, at least that's what they're reporting, is unaccounted for. But Geraldine, I mean, I really appreciate your reporting and your being with us here on Forum, and thank you so much. I'm going to move on and bring John Fidler into this discussion. He's a British-trained architect. He works as a consultant on preservation. And John Fidler, good to have you aboard. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And we also have Cécile Alduy with us, professor of French literature and culture at Stanford, author of Marine Le Pen, Words Deciphering the New National Front's Discourse. And Professor Alduy has been with us on the Forum program, and she's in Paris now. We thought we'd bring her into this as well. Good to have you back with us. Welcome.
Thank you. Good day.
What are you seeing right now, Cécile?
Well, I am located in the 15th arrondissement, and it was surreal yesterday. Place where I grew up in, and it's on the 11th floor of a very tall building, and my mother started to shout Notre Dame is burning, Notre Dame is burning. And we went on the balcony and saw this, you know, column of smoke and the spark of fire going up so much higher than the cathedral itself and burning for a long, long, long time. And there was a moment of disbelief at the scene because it was so surreal.
I'm sorry to interrupt you in the middle of the narrative here, but we only have a few moments with John Fidler. I want to come back to you, if I may, and come back to listeners, too, and remind listeners that they can and indeed are invited to join us. Your reactions to the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral, I must tell you, I went down in a boat on the Seine and saw it at night, and it is a spectacular thing to see, and it had, as I said, so many art treasures. This is a catastrophe, and particularly for those in the Catholic world, because it's so iconic and so sacred and holy. John Fidler, as a trained architect, as someone who has worked as a consultant on preservation, what do you have to tell us about the likelihood of preserving or maybe going back to what Notre Dame was in all its glory?
Well, I think it's entirely doable, and the French, my French colleagues in Monument Historique, who look after the building, many people won't know this, but major churches in France belong to the state, not to the Roman Catholic Church, since the revolution. I'm sure they're absolutely capable of dealing with this and forensically unpacking the damage and the ruined debris, finding artifacts that have fallen, that have not been charred too badly, and restoring those features. Unfortunately, fires in historic buildings happen quite often. In England, I worked for English Heritage, the equivalent of the National Park Service here in the States, and my job was to help with the disasters that took place, and we had fires at York Minster in 1984, Hampton Court Palace in 1986, and Windsor Castle, of course, the Queen's House in 1992. Causes for the fire include lightning strikes at Hampton Court. An old servant's candle dripped into the floorboards and caught fire at a country house. There have been workmen causing damage in various places. So it will vary from place to place, but I'm sure it's resolvable. And, of course, Notre Dame has had fires before. In the 13th century, most of the roof was lost. And, in fact, one of the glories of French cathedrals are these rib vaults from the Gothic era, which were designed in those days as a fireproof enclosure for the building to protect the roofs.
Well, John, let me add here that at this point, it seems there has to be a full investigation, but it seems like the hot work done with welding on the roof was, during a renovation, the cause, or at least that's the assumption, that has to be, of course, corroborated, but we'll know more in time. I'm just wondering, though, if you could tell us something about, when we talk about restoration, there's a lot of new technology that can help, and there's a lot of, that can be done to get back to the original, I suppose. But the reality is that we've got a lot of things that, at this point, really bring some big questions about what can be done or what ought to be done. I know you're familiar, are you not, with Andrew Tallon's work, who's now deceased, who did all these laser scans of the cathedral and actually recorded just about everything having to do with the cathedral. But it's too bad he's not alive. He could give us a lot of the information we really need.
Well, in fact, a lot of the roof work was restored and repaired in the 19th century by the famous French Gothic Revival architect, Villers-le-Duc, in the 1840s and 1860s. And his drawings still exist for example, the flesh, the spire that's been lost on the building. So I'm sure some of that can be used to restore the work.
You know the condition? I have a listener who wants to know and wondered if you know, John, the condition of the stained glass, especially the rose windows?
No, that's unfortunately not been reported on very much. There are some very important pieces there, but of course in the French Revolution there was a great deal of damage to medieval glasswork in the building, and I've not seen any reports so far of the condition of the glass. Most of the heat from the fire went upwards, as heat and flame is wont to do. There was a collapse of the flesh, which also caused a collapse at the central crossing of the building. So I'm hopeful that there's not much damage to some of the walls and to the glass.
John Fidler, thank you so much for being with us and appreciate the time you have given us. Thank you again.
Thank you. Bye.
John Fidler, British-trained architect working as a consultant on preservation. Let me go back to Cecile Aldwy. And before I go back to you, Cecile, I want to read a comment. Teresa writes, as Francophiles, we visit Notre Dame every time we're in Paris and grieve with our French friends at the loss. Celebrating Christmas Eve, midnight mass there was a lifetime highlight for my family. Notre Dame will rise again. And here's David who writes, when Notre Dame was built, the flying buttresses and other structural elements that made the iconic Gothic appearance were state-of-the-art, not just fancy decoration or artistry. I'd like to suggest that reconstruction not just rebuild that old construction, but perhaps improve the structure and change the appearance in light of what is now state-of-the-art construction and materials. And you may want to add your voice to this, and indeed we welcome your calls and emails. You can join us in the time remaining at 866-733-6786 or by email forum@kqed.org. And Cecile, I was apologetic for invading your narrative there, but we had to get to John. We only had a few minutes with him. Go back to where you were when I apologetically had to interrupt you.
Yeah, well, I think what's important to understand is that Notre Dame, although it is a church, is really at the heart of the French nation as a symbol, not only of its, you know, 1,000 years collective history of both arts and politics, because it was a political center as well, but also in the way that the French nation see itself as building generation after generation a narrative that you know, goes all the way to the kings, the medieval kings, and to the revolution. Napoleon was crowned in Notre Dame, and then Napoleon III was mirrored in Notre Dame. Charles de Gaulle, you know, had Notre Dame's bells ring for the liberation of Paris, and then there was a funeral for Charles de Gaulle in Notre Dame. The French president François Mitterrand too was buried, but had a national mass held in Notre Dame for his death. So Notre Dame has been the location and almost character of French history for hundreds of years. And I think there's something extremely moving when you look at what was destroyed yesterday. It's the roof and the structure, the wood structure that held the roof together, which was called the forest, because it was made of hundreds of trees dating back, you know, to the 12th century. And those trees, there was one tree per beam, were held together in a very complex structure. And that might never be, you know, redone the same way, because those oak trees don't grow anymore to such length. They were sometimes 200-year-old trees that were used. And so you have.
Forgive me, that is something that cannot be restored, you're saying, really?
It cannot, just because we're not growing oak trees of that magnitude anymore. But there is something extremely moving in thinking that at the heart of Notre Dame, which is the heart of France and the heart of Paris, there was a forest that was, you know, connecting us to life as it was a 1,000 years ago, basically. And it's just this connection to time past that is lost. And so I think that the loss for French people today is not the loss of a monument only, but the loss of this connection to the past, or the fear of a loss to the connection to the past. Another thing that's interesting is that Notre Dame was built, you know, starting 856 years ago, but it took 100 years to complete the church, and then every king added, and every bishop added structures and decorations and artwork all the way to, you know, the 19th century, of course, and today. And so there's a history to be continued here with the restoration or rebuilding of Notre Dame. And it might take another generation to complete, but Notre Dame itself was made through time. And so even if it's heavily damaged today, it's part of its history to be added on and to be rebuilt. And it's the way that French people continue to interact with it and to make its own, to make it its own. So I am extremely sad, but at the same time hopeful that this history is not ended, but will continue through restoration.
No, I appreciate that historical overview, and thank you for it. And Cecile Aldwy, again, is professor of French literature and culture at Stanford and author of a book about Marie Le Pen and the National Front. And let me get a caller on here, and you are welcome to join us in the time we have remaining. Again, it's 866-733-6786. Here's Jake. Jake, you're on. Morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking billionaires, spending hundreds of millions of euros to, you know, rebuild this cathedral within hours of it burning, when currently the Yellow Vest protests are ongoing for months, and none of these billionaires have had any interest in pledging money to any of the services that those people are looking for. So I'm curious, you know, even though this is clearly a nationally important and, you know, historic building, why do you think it is that these billionaires are so willing to jump in at this point when they weren't willing to for other societal needs?
It's an interesting question. You want to field it, Professor Aldway?
Yes. So most of the billionaires, the French billionaires at least, who have pledged to donate for the restoration are also patrons of the arts and pride themselves of being so. Louis Vuitton has his own foundation at the outskirts of Paris. And so there is this implication that the role of, the wealthy in France is not philanthropy per se, but rather this continuation again of a long tradition of French history where power and the arts go together and artists are funded by power, whether it's economic power or political power. And the listener is right to point out that otherwise, there is not the same level of social responsibility being endorsed by those billionaires concerning social woes that, you know, have been lingering in France for months, if not years. And I'm sure that in the days that come, this kind of striking contrast will be highlighted. We're in the middle of a political campaign for the European elections, so we can be confident that this contrast between how much money is devoted to rebuilding Notre Dame and how much money is devoted to social those will be pointed out. However, what could be contrasted as well is that the understanding is that the state and not individuals is responsible for balancing social inequalities through policies.
Let me thank the caller for that, but I just want to also point out, if I may, Cecile, that a lot of this has to do with what you were saying about the sacred nature and the identification with France nationally, as well as all of the art treasures that are there, and as well as just the treasure of this Gothic cathedral, which would make people want to essentially restore it and do all they can. I want to read a couple of remarks that have come in from listeners. Enrique writes, I worked at Lawrence Lab, and while there, my duties included fire inspection. I never authorized welding on any high-value structure without a fire watch standing by the site of the welding. I have a hard time not being critical of their fire prevention approach. And Louise wants to know anything about the condition of the organ. Do you know if it still exists? Cecile, can you help us there? We got seconds left.
Right. It still exists, but it's been heavily damaged. So an assessment will be necessary to know how much it needs to be repaired.
Well, thank you, Cecile Aldwy. Cecile Aldwy, again, is professor of French literature and culture at Stanford. We also spoke with Geraldine Emile, the Paris bureau chief for Bloomberg, and John Fidler, a British architect who worked as a consultant on preservation. When we return, we're going to talk about PG&E. Stay tuned.